We're having a special class. You guys asked that we learn the story of Rav Lez ben Horkanos and Tanur Shel Achnai. So the story is found in Tractate Baba Metzia, where we have chapter 4 in Tractate Baba Metzia is called Perek Hazav, the chapter about gold. What does that mean? So we have a halacha, the Torah says, Lo tonu ish et amito, a person may not afflict his fellow man. And the Torah says it twice. And the Torah says it twice to teach us that we're not allowed to be dishonest in our business dealings. And we're not allowed to afflict someone else in the way we speak. So the chapter begins with a discussion of what's considered fair business practice. And in order to discuss that, so the chapter begins with a whole discussion of what's considered a markup, a margin of profit that's fair. When is it considered that you cheated the other party? And so the first discussion in the chapter is what constitutes money? Meaning when you want to discuss value, you have to first define what is the gold standard, right? So that's the first discussion in the chapter because, for example, if in the world today, the standard is the dollar. The American dollar is the standard. Gold is measured based on its value in dollars. The euro is measured based on its value in dollars. Silver, copper, palladium, everything is measured based on their dollar value. So what we might call the gold standard today in the United States is the dollar standard. You want to know what the shekel's worth, you want to know what it's worth in dollars. So in our world economy today, the standard so far is the dollar. You want to know how much a barrel of oil, it's coming out of Saudi Arabia, it's coming out of Russia, it's coming wherever it's coming from, its market value is in dollars. So then if you want to say, you will always discuss whether the value, whether the price of the barrel was too high, the price of the gold was too high, it's not the price of the dollar that was too high. You understand? So the standard is very important to us. In those days, it was a question of whether the standard was gold or silver. The question being, if I sold you gold and I overpriced it, I got too much silver for it, is it considered, can it be that I cheated you? If gold is the money, I didn't cheat you. The question of which is the standard, which is the monetary value, and which is the commodity. Okay, so that's the discussion in the beginning of the chapter. Then the chapter evolves into this a discussion after many different aspects of what's considered a fair markup and not, and where is it considered cheating someone. We go into a new discussion, the second prohibition of don't afflict your fellow man verbally. And from there, the Gemara goes into a discussion of how careful we have to be in our speech, that not to afflict someone else. It's talking about not to say something that will hurt them. So our discussion begins with Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who says a person should rather fall into a burning furnace than shame someone else publicly, as we find with Tamar. The Torah then says, Lo lam yadam zahir bonat ishto. A person should always be careful not to hurt his wife's feelings, because being that women tear more easily, that means they are hurt more easily, and so you have to be more careful with this biblical prohibition not to say something hurtful. Then the Gemara says, from the day the temple was destroyed, the gates of prayer are locked. It's very hard to get your prayer answered, but the gates of tears are never locked. And then the Gemara says, all gates could be locked other than the gate of affliction. That when a person is afflicted, so then in heaven they're always prepared to hear from him. And from that, the Gemara is going to evolve into the story of Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara just gives us an important tip on the way, so we'll just touch on that. Rabbi Yehuda says, always be careful that there's enough food in the house, because the main source of fighting in the house is when there isn't enough grain, when there isn't enough, in our day it might be enough cash, or it might be enough bread, or it might be payment for the electricity. When a person wants peace in the house, there has to be a certain financial stability, because otherwise that's going to be a great source of fighting. And from here, the Gemara goes into the story of Rabbi Eliezer. It says like this, if you have an oven, so Earthenware can become spiritually defiled. It can become tameh. If you have an oven, their ovens were built like a teepee. They were wide on bottom, and they'd attach the earthenware oven to the floor in order to retain the heat. And then the oven would become more narrow as it neared the top. And on the top, you had a hole on top of which you could place your pots. They would also bake things on the outside of the oven and on the inner wall of the oven. That's how they would bake their pita bread. They would glue it onto, they'd smack it onto the wall, and there it would bake. So if you have an oven, even though that oven is attached to the earth, and most things that are attached to the ground cannot become tameh, an oven, the Torah says, can become tameh. Okay, a vessel can become tameh, but once it's broken, it becomes pure. What happens if you have this oven and you slice it in two? So the larger half can still be used as an oven, because you slice off a corner, you slice off a piece of a triangle, you still have two triangles, you can still use them. So it says the larger half is still tameh. Okay, so you slice the larger half in two. Now you have a smaller half, and then you have two smaller halves. And then it's no longer defiled. What will happen if you reconnect all the pieces? You have three slices, so you'll make like three tires, one on top of the other. And then you'll put tar around it, and you'll reuse the oven. So it goes back to its old defilement. It's tameh again. What will happen if you take the lowest layer, and you put sand around it? And then you put the next layer, and you put sand around that, and then you put the upper layer. So you have the three layers, but they never reattach the way they were before, because you have a separation of sand. Then you'll put tar on the outside, so you have the same teepee effect again. You have your oven back, but you didn't reattach it, right? Because you left a separation in between. So that's an oven that's called Tanur Shel Achnai. That's an oven that's like a snake. Achnai is a type of snake. And as a snake coils around itself, that's what this oven is going to look like. You're going to have a lower round layer, and then sand, and then another layer, and then sand, and then another layer. So they came and asked Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, is that oven pure, or is it tameh? So Rabbi Eliezer said, that's tahol, that's pure. And the rabbi said, it's tameh. So they called Rabbi Eliezer in, and they asked him, and he said, it's tahol. And the rabbi said, it's tameh. And Rabbi Eliezer said, if I'm right, then the carob tree that's right here next to the academy will pick up and replant itself 100 amma away. And the carob tree suddenly uprooted and floated 100 amma away and replanted itself. So they said, not a proof. You don't bring proofs from a carob tree. He said, if the halacha is like me, then the stream of water that's flowing near the academy that we all drink from will start flowing backwards. So the stream of water started flowing backwards. And they said, you don't bring proof from streams of water. He said, if the halacha is like me, then the walls of the academy will start caving in. You're learning Torah here. You're seeking out truth. There's a message in the carob. There's a message in the stream. And there's a message in the walls of the Beis Medrash. So the walls of the academy started caving in. Rabbi Yoshua, who was Rabbi Eliezer's contemporary, he was the one who took Rabbi Eliezer into his house when Rabbi Eliezer first wanted to learn Torah. He yelled at the walls and he said, stop. So the walls froze. So he said to the walls, he said, if the rabbis are arguing with one another, what's your business? What are you getting involved? So the walls didn't come crashing down on them out of respect for Rabbi Yoshua. And they didn't straighten out of respect for Rabbi Eliezer. And the Talmud says that in their days, it was still a tourist attraction. People would go and look at that academy. I don't know if too many people wanted to learn there. People would go and look at that academy, and they'd see the walls that were shaking, that were bent in. So Rabbi Eliezer said, if I'm right, then the heavens will declare I'm right. And a heavenly voice came out and said, why are you arguing on Rabbi Eliezer? The halacha is like him everywhere. Rabbi Yoshua stood up and said, but Hashem, in the Torah, it says, Lo Vashemayimi. You gave us this rule that you're not going to get involved from heaven. And you said we have to work with the system you gave us. Well, we worked with the system, and the majority here does not understand the halacha like him. So we have to rule the way with the system you gave us. The Talmud says Rabbi Natan met up with Eliyahu. And he asked him, what was Hashem doing at that time? He asked him, when the rabbis in the court said, Rabbonu Shel Olam, we're doing what you said. What was Hashem's reaction? Because the heavenly voice didn't come out. Hashem didn't say anything. So he said, Eliyahu said, Hashem smiled and said, my sons were victorious. So they brought all the food that Rabbi Eliezer had said was kosher, was pure, and they burnt it. And then the rabbis came to a conference and they decided that Rabbi Eliezer was improper in arguing so much. If he saw the majority was against him, he should have conceded. And if he's not conceding, it doesn't matter how smart he is, he can be a source of tremendous argumentation in Klal Yisrael, because we have a system, and the system says you go by the majority. And if he's not going to give in because he has a tradition, but the majority is against him, then we have a problem. And so they gave a halachic ruling that he is ostracized. He's not allowed back into the academy, and they're not going to come near him. And they said, who's going to tell him? So they said, Rabbi Kiva said, I'll go, because if someone else doesn't go, who knows what will happen to the world. So Rabbi Akiva wore dark black clothing, and he covered himself with another black layer. And when he came to learn by Rabbi Eliezer, he sat far away from him, 4 footsteps away. That's about like the distance from Maronix to me. I said Maronix. Yaakov. So he sat 4 footsteps away. That's like that far. And Rabbi Eliezer said, Akiva, why are you sitting so far away? So he said, Rabbi, I think that your friends are staying away from you. And when Rabbi Eliezer heard that, he tore his clothing, because a person who is halachically ostracized takes on the customs of mourning. He took off his shoes and sat on the ground, and he started crying. And it said a third of the world crops of olives went bad. A third of the world crops of wheat and barley went bad. And any woman that was in the middle of kneading dough, the dough went sour. So anywhere Rabbi Eliezer would look, would start going up in flames. And Rabbi Gamliel was out at sea. Rabbi Gamliel was the prince who gave this ruling. And as he's out at sea, the sea went wild, and he was about to drown, even though he's the prince, he's the chief rabbi. So he said, this must be because of what we did to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. So he stood up and he said, Ribbono shel Olam, you know, I didn't do this out of my honor, and nor out of honor for the leadership of my family. I did it out of your honor. You don't want arguments in Am Yisrael. You gave us a system. You want us to come to a bottom line. And so the sea settled. Now, the problem was that if Rabbi Eliezer is upset at Rabbi Gamliel, we just learned that when a person was wronged, when a person was hurt, so then those gates never close. And the Talmud says, even though halachically Rabbi Gamliel was right, they hurt Rabbi Eliezer. And we're going to pick up, Bezrat Hashem, if you want, after Alvit, with the continuation of the story.